Welcome to Longview Baptist Church. Where will you spend your eternity? This is a question that does have an answer, even if you don't know what it is. I am Pastor John. This ministry is designed to prepare you for that day we will all face, our last. Join us as we find an answer to the tough questions, and remember, you cannot truly live until you're truly ready to die.
It's extraordinary how God wants to use ordinary people to do extraordinary things. And we talked about this morning about building our faith to the point where we are all in with God. And, you know, that's what we have to keep that going. That's the only way He can use ordinary people to do extraordinary things, is if we will truly trust Him wholeheartedly. The scripture we're going to be looking at tonight is Judges chapter 6. This will be verses 11 through 16, but while y'all are looking that up, I want to ask you some more questions like I did this morning. Do you feel that God can use you? Is what I was, you know, talking about a little bit this morning about being used by God, but do you think that God can use you? Maybe you feel like you have nothing to offer God. You know, maybe we really don't know what our spiritual gifts are. just show of hands. Does anybody really know what their spiritual gifts are? Or have you really? There is a test, and Jonathan has done it before. I think it's kind of a survey type deal that you can kind of maybe hone in and figure out what your spiritual gifts are. I've always said that I'm a jack of all trades. I'm a master of none, which means I'm good at a lot of things, but I ain't great at nothing. So God can use me to get up here and ramble on because I'm not afraid to look stupid in front of people. Obviously, I can get up and carry a tune. I'm not a great singer, but at least I can carry a tune. Thank Aaron for stepping out on faith and filling in for me. So hopefully I can have a backup if we need to be somewhere else for a day or so. But spiritual gifts, we really need to hone in and know what our spiritual gifts are, because God wants to, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I'm not going to read it, but it says to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. So that spiritual gift is not just for you to use for yourself. God intends for you to use it for the blessing of others. So, you know, if you keep it to yourself, then that's kind of like hiding your light under a bushel. No, I'm going to let my light shine. We need to share that gift with others. That's how God uses us to take care of others' needs, whether it's praying for them, whether it's teaching them, you know, providing. It's just all different kinds of ways that we can bless the body of Christ. He also gives that as a portions to each one individually as He wills. And I believe that that is telling us that basically the Holy Spirit will be used to equip us for whatever task God has in front of us. So, you know, if Jonathan has talked a lot about when he first started and he told God that he wasn't going to be a preacher or whatever, and God obviously changed his mind, that he couldn't get up in front of people and talk. He wasn't good at that. Well, obviously he's gotten over that fright, hasn't he? Because he does it every Sunday and every Wednesday, and I think he just preached his nephew's funeral. So he has had to do weddings and other stuff. So that's something that God can help equip you with if that is what He wants to task you with. So we really need to understand that no one truly retires from Christian service, do they? I mean, you might step back from, maybe if like Jonathan steps back from full-time pastoring, but he's still going to be used by God to minister to people, is he not? And we are too, all the way up until the time we draw our last breath, you know. So God doesn't intend for us to just get in a rocking chair and wait for the time when He calls us home. He has work that we can do no matter what stage of life we are in. No matter what hindrance lies in front of us, God can equip us for His glory, not ours. So remember that too. He will use you for what you're ready for, and He will prepare you for the work to come. Now, this scripture is in Judges is talking about Gideon, and Jonathan has preached on this many times before, and you guys have heard this before, but this is when God used and raised up Gideon, because the nation of Israel at this time, just to give you a little background, was after the time of Joshua and in that generation when they had passed away, because Joshua led the Israelites in to occupy the promised land. Well, after that was all said and done, you know, they were fine and they served God during Joshua's age and the people that was with him until they all kind of passed away. And then what happened was just like they always did, it was like a cycle with the Israelites. God would bless them. They would get spiritually complacent, which is very easy to do. They would sin by serving other gods. They would suffer at the hands of their enemy. They would cry out to God, and then God would raise up someone to deliver them. Seemed to be a rinse and repeat with them, did it not? So they did it with Moses. He's done it with, you know, Joshua. He's done it with, obviously now he's going to use Gideon, and he used many people all throughout the Bible. But at this point, the Israelites were suffering at the hands of the Midianites, and everything that they had tried to grow or build, the Midianites would come in and they would steal what they wanted and they would tear down and destroy the rest. So they were crying out to God to help them and to deliver them from the Midianites. And this is kind of what we're going to talk about, is the raising of Gideon. If you guys would stand with me, we're going to read through our scripture here. This is Judges 16, 11. Or, I'm sorry, 6, 11 through 16. It says, "Now the angel of the Lord came and sat under the terebinth tree, or terebinth at Ophrah, which belonged to Joaz the Asbionite." I can't get these names right, so please don't judge me on that. "While his son Gibeon was beating out wheat in the winepress to hide it from the Midianites. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him and said to him, 'The Lord is with you, O mighty man of valor.' And Gideon said to him, 'Please, sir, if the Lord is with us, why then has all this happened to us? And where are all his wonderful deeds that our fathers recounted to us, saying, Did not the Lord bring us up from Egypt? But now the Lord has forsaken us and given us into the hand of the Midians.' And the Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in this might of yours and save Israel from the hand of Midian. Do not I send you?' And he said to him, 'Please, Lord, how can I save Israel? Behold, my clan is the weakest of Manasseh, and I am the least in my father's house.' And the Lord said to him, 'But I will be with you, and you shall strike the Midianites as one man.'" Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for the lessons that we can learn from those that you have used before us, Lord. To help prepare us, Father, and to just let us know that if we will just put our focus and trust upon you, that there's nothing you can't do through us and for us, Lord. We just pray that you would just help us to see the big picture that you are trying to work, Lord, and just be useful to you and not get in your way, Lord. Help us to just continue to grow and to continue to just be more like Christ in all that we do. And for these things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. So God raises up Gideon here, and Gideon is telling God in verse 15 that he is the weakest of the weak, and he's basically trying to say, "Are you sure about this, God? You know, I'm a nobody. You know, I'm the least of nobodies, you know, so why are you trying to use me?" But if we look all through the Bible, basically Moses tried to get out of it. He was saying he couldn't speak, so the Lord said, "Okay, take Aaron with you." He took that excuse from him. So if the more excuses we give God, then probably, you know, he will definitely clear that way till we have no more excuses and we will be forced to make a decision. Either we're going to serve him or we're not going to serve him. And so that's what he wants us to do, is to choose to be used by him and just to have trust and faith in him. God doesn't call the equipped, he equips the called. We've heard that time and time again, have we not? So God will equip Gideon if he will just trust him and be used by him. We saw this morning that, you know, Elisha, he had no doubt God was going to take care of this army that had them surrounded. So he wasn't scared. He wasn't, you know, upset about it. He just basically, God was able to show him the big picture of what he was doing, and he prayed that God would take the blinders off of his servant so he could see them, so he could be comforted by them. And once we can do that, you know, we know that God's in control. Just get out of the way and let him work. So it says that we are never truly prepared ahead of time, and that's the way God wants it. That way we have no choice but to trust him, and he gets the glory, not us. Because if we prepare it ahead of time, then what happens? We won't take the credit for it, won't we? You know, so God wants us to be, that's why he is he's perfect in our weakness. Because if he does things through our weakness, then we have no choice but to give him the glory. We can't take the credit for it. God gives Gideon some small things to do in his own backyard to kind of build him up. You know, we talked about this morning about building faith. You know, you step out of your comfort zone just a little bit. You get to where you're comfortable with that. You step out a little more and so forth and so forth. And then this is what God was doing with him. If we read over into verse 35 through 31 in chapter 6. It says, "That night the Lord said to him, 'Take your father's bull and the second bull, 7 years old, and pull down the altar of Baal and that your father has, and cut down the Asherah pole that is beside it, and build an altar to the Lord your God on top of the stronghold here with stones laid in due order. Then take the second bull and offer it as a burnt offering with the wood of the Asherah pole that you shall cut down.' So Gideon took 10 men of his servants and did as the Lord had told him. But because he was too afraid of his family and the men of the town to do it in the day, he did it by night." And so as we know that the men got up the next morning and saw the Baal and the Asherah pole and all had been tore down and burned, and they all got upset. You know, this was Gideon stepping out of his comfort zone. He actually put the bullseye on his back with his family and the townsmen, just like, you know, Elisha was doing with him, with the king of Aram this morning. So when he was trying to help the Israelites. So, like I said this morning, usually if God leads, you're going to find yourself in an uncomfortable situation, because, you know, God's got things he wants to do, and he never did say that it was going to be a road that was going to be easy to go down. So he was preparing him, and he was dealing with him and his family first. You know, it amazes me how God, I guess the path that I've taken, it was, I've always said I've gone the long way around the barn, because if I'd gone in a straight line where God wanted me to go from the get-go, it would have been a lot easier for me. But I was called by God when I was a teenager. I walked away from God. I got kind of frustrated. The worries of the world kind of grew up and choked me down, and I walked away until Carol and I got together, and God used Carol to get me back in church and then to work on me. And I've gone from that to teaching Sunday school to working with the youth, then stepping up and going from the choir to leading music. And then now I'm here behind the pulpit. And I've always said, I don't know why he uses me here, because I'm not good at it. But I keep finding myself here. So, hey, it's all about God's glory, not mine. But, you know, God just wants us to be willing. He doesn't care if you're good at something. Be willing and then let him do the rest, okay? So God sees who you can be, not who you are or who we think we are. So we need to look at ourselves through God's glasses and not our own. You look at right here with Gideon, you know, God called Gideon a mighty warrior. And here Gideon is saying, no, I'm the weakest of the weak. I'm a nobody. Well, the Lord just told you you're something. So you need to believe him and look at yourself who you can be with his help. So God brings us along at a pace that we can halfway stay comfortable with, but the main thing is that we have to trust his process, and we have to trust and have faith that he is going to build us up and prepare us along the way, and that we will be stronger on the other end if we will just trust Him. But, you know, it says now we can be afraid, but we have to be obedient. You know, Gideon here was afraid. He didn't want to do this task in the daytime. He wanted to do it at night when nobody was watching, but he still did it. You know, I think about the parable that Jesus told about the two sons. The father asked them to go work in the vineyard, and the one said, "Yeah, Dad, I'll go right away," but he never went. And the other one said, "No, I'm not doing that." Well, later on, he felt guilty, and he went and did it. And he says, which one did the right thing? Well, the son that said he wasn't going to go the first place, but he did go, he followed through with it, was the son that did the right thing. So we can have all the good intentions in the world, but if we don't follow through with it, then what good has that done God? So this is like Gideon here. Gideon has to follow through with what the path that God has him on. Gideon was afraid, but he kept doing what God told him to do. And what God told him to do here was pretty amazing. And I'm going to kind of read through this real quick for you. This is chapter 6, verses 33 through chapter 7, 1-8. And it's basically going to give a little synopsis of what Gideon did here for the Lord. Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan, and they encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abarizzites, I can't pronounce that, were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, Naphtali, and they went to meet him. Now this is the guy that said that he was a nobody. Well, now he's calling out Israel to come follow him into battle, and they answer the call. So that's telling you that's God right there. Then Gideon said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, and you have, as you have said." I'm sorry. And it was so, when he rose early in the morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl of water. Then Gideon said to God, "Let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on all the ground let there be dew." And God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on the ground all around was dew. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him rose up early and encamped behind or beside the spring of Herod, and the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel would boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now therefore proclaimed in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return him and hurry away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'There are still too many people. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you. And anyone of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' shall go with you. And anyone of whom I say to you, 'This one shall not go,' shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water, and the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink, and by the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to the mouth, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink water." And the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand. And let all the others go, every man to his home." So the people took provisions in their hands and trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but the remaining 300, and the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. So, you think that I know that was a lot, and I'm sorry about that, but, you know, we think taking a job at church is taking a big step. Well, here you've got Gideon, who's going to face 135,000, not with 32,000, not with 10,000, but with 300 men. That's a lot. You know, that's a lot for anybody. So that is really going out on faith. That is really putting your faith and trust in God and saying, okay, God, you got this. And if God tells you he's going to get the glory from it, then you've just got to buck up and go with it. Even though that's a huge David and Goliath story if I've ever heard one right there. So you can imagine what Gideon was thinking, well, you know, maybe what he's got himself into. But the most important thing is that we always have to remember, if it is truly God's plan, then, and you're really doing what God wants you to do, it's not will it cannot fail. If it is God's plan, 100% of it is God's plan, it cannot fail. So once again, like Elisha wasn't worried, what would we be worried about? We have to just trust God and know that he has got this. So, was he scared? Yes. Was he nervous? Absolutely. But he was obedient, and we have to as well. God's plan can't be stopped, but he can use and bless someone else. We need him, not the other way around. And that's what we have to remember, is that God doesn't have to use us. If God is wanting you to do something for him, if he has a task at hand, you need to consider it an honor. Because he doesn't need us to carry it out. He hasn't needed anyone throughout the Bible to do his will, but he chooses to use people to do his will. So if God is willing to bless you with that, then take the blessing and trust him and know that he's got this. He said in Isaiah 55, 8 and 9, "For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts." So basically, we can't fathom what God is working. If he's got a big picture in mind, do your part, and then just let God do the rest. Hang on and let him. If he wants to show you the big picture, he will. I pray all the time, God, just help me to see the big picture of what you're trying to accomplish here so I can put myself at ease. Sometimes he will show me the big picture. Sometimes he basically just tells me, hey, you just do your part and I'll handle the rest. Trust me. And I'll just have to buck up and trust him. Does it make me feel good? No. Does it put me at ease? No. But sometimes we just have to put our faith and trust and just hang on. So no one in their right mind would take 300 to defeat 135,000. And so, you know, except God. And God made it look easy, did he not? And we could read the rest of the story, but I'm not. God defeated the Midianites with these 300. You know, we didn't see God blast Gideon for his weakness as well. You know, when Gideon was asking God for the confirmation through the fleece, you know, to give him, make sure that he was doing what God wanted him to do, did God blast him for that? No, he didn't blast him. God provided. He knows that there's going to be times when we need to be comforted just so we will feel confident in going through with his plan. Because we're in these fleshly human bodies and we're weak. We're weak in this flesh, we're weak in this mind. And, you know, sometimes God knows that he has to give us a little bit of a reassurance before we will go through it. And he did that with Gideon. You know, we see God patiently grow his faith and his courage to the point where, you know, all of Israel's coming out to follow him. And here was a guy that wouldn't even, you know, didn't even think that he was a anybody. And so God knew right where Gideon was and how to push him. God knows right where we are and how to push us as well. But the question is, are we letting him? You know, are we letting God push us into these tasks that he wants us to do? Or are we fighting him, trying our best to get out of them? You know, as we see with the church nowadays, there's a lot of churches that aren't blessed like we are. You know, there are doors closing. There are churches that are struggling to get people back in the building after COVID and all the shutdown. And so, you know, we are blessed, and I thank God for that, but we need to take the blessing that God's given us, and we need to bless the community. We need to bless our neighborhood, our state. You know, there's things that we can do, but we need to be letting God lead. Gideon needed the sign not to know what God wanted, but for his own encouragement. And as we mature, we shouldn't need those as much. But we still need them at times. So God is always merciful and patient. We just have to be obedient to his call. So I'm going to end with what I started out with, the first question. Do you think God can use you? And I'm going to leave it at that. Let's close in prayer. Father, we just thank you that you do.
Thank you for joining us today. We pray that God's word has encouraged you. You feel like you've had fellowship and been at home with family. Today, if God has moved in your heart, and today you would like to make him not only the Savior, but the Lord of your life. First, it's important to know that we are sinners. We're born sinners. No one can bridge the gap that was separated when sin broke what God had created so beautifully. If today you know you're a sinner in need of a Savior, and you know that Jesus Christ was born, lived a sinless life, and died on the cross to pay for your sin. Today, if you want to, you can trust him as your Lord and Savior. It requires you to pray and in faith, ask him to save you, to forgive you of your sins, to cleanse you, and you want to live for him. I pray today, if you do that, that you will reach out to us. We would love to get you connected in a church body, a church home, wherever that might be, and get discipleship around you so you can grow in this new life that you found in Christ. Read God's word. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. God bless you.